And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is Monday, April the 16th, 2018. 13 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears along with you here. We are going to be joined by the amazing Kreskin at 1:30. So we have about 27 minutes and we're going to be joined by him. But before we do that, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to take your phone call, 740-383-9944. Give us about 2 minutes. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Everybody's talking about Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, from legendary comedian Kay Ballard performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a Chuck Full of Nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a Big Burger King, where the Styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised a wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake, Scott? Oh, it's naughty, but it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
Twist
I would do anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. But well, just let me talking and I keep going.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Join me.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here. Amazing Kreskin will join us in just about 15 minutes, and he's going to talk about Facebook. He made an interesting prediction in regard to Facebook that Kreskin and I will be talking about 1:30 up until the top of the hour. Now, this is where you've got to listen to Adam the Computer Guy on this station, because he really gets into this sort of thing. Zuckerberg, where will Facebook be a few years from now? All those great things. The Adam the Computer Guy show can be heard every Tuesday and Thursday morning from 9:10 until 10 a.m. on this station. And I'm sure Adam will have a lot to say about Zuckerberg's testimony tomorrow morning. So it's tomorrow morning, Tuesday, 9:10 until 10 a.m., and it may even spill over into the mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor, Ronald Feynman. So that'll be 10:10 until 11 tomorrow. So start your morning tomorrow with Adam Lepp, 9:10 until 11 a.m. Now, we will take phone calls, though, for the next 15 minutes before we have Kreskin join us. We had somebody picking up tickets there. I tell you, if I am off the beam today, I had the worst night's sleep last night you could possibly imagine. I cannot remember a night when I had such a bad night's sleep. I was constantly up, and then I couldn't go back to sleep. And then I was just miserable last night. So I think I am going to rest up tonight, hopefully get a good night's sleep. Did anybody else have that problem last night? I put it on Facebook now. I've become one of those people now who tell you everything about my life. If I had a bad night's sleep, I'm going to tell you about it on Facebook. Now, I haven't started taking pictures of my food or anything like that yet, so bear with me, but I did tell people that I did not sleep well last night, and they said, well, I didn't sleep well either. So maybe it was a change in the temperature. Maybe it wasn't just me. Did anybody not sleep well last night or have anything they want to say? 740-383-9944. We have about 12 minutes before we're going to be joined by the amazing Kreskin to talk about this Facebook thing. Boy, that's Shayna Miller. What a Morris. See, I don't even know who I'm talking to anymore. I got to have papers in front of me. Shayna Morris, Harding High School wrestler, first girl to complete the wrestling season. And now she has a scholarship, a wrestling scholarship, to go to Tiffin University, which is the only college in Ohio to have female wrestlers. What an amazing story that is. 10,000 years from now, she will remain the first. And it was a great, great pleasure to interview Shayna Morris. And we can't do anything but wish her the best of luck in her college career, in wrestling and in music, which seem to be her two loves. What a great, great student she was. Does anybody have anything to say about that? Any questions or comments about the Shayna Morris interview? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call. We will talk about it. Don't forget, Dennis Kucinich will be live in studio tomorrow, April the 17th, from 5:10 until 6 p.m. Dennis Kucinich, one of the front runners for the governor of Ohio, will be live in studio tomorrow, 5:10 to 6 p.m., right here at WWGH Radio. And you can ask him a question while he's here by dialing the number 740-383-9944 or sending me an email at scott@wwgh1071.com. Also, don't forget Pancakes in the Park for midget football will be coming up this coming Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., $5 for adults. Kids 5 and under are free. It's an all-you-can-eat pancake breakfast while supplies last. So it's best to get there at 7 a.m. rather than 2 p.m. because we might be out of pancakes. There will be live entertainment that day. The Leshetsky family and the Douse Dance Studio of Marion. All-you-can-eat pancakes, Garfield Park. And we will be raffling off stuff, too. When you buy a ticket, your name will be entered into a raffle to win 5 tickets to the Columbus Zoo, 10 memberships, registrations for Marion Midget Football will be raffled off, as well as a virtual reality smartphone headset, and more things to come. That's this Saturday, April the 21st, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., Garfield Park. All the proceeds go to Marion Midget Football. So you can't miss that. 740-383-9944. If you'd like to comment on anything, give me a ring. 740-383-9944. There was an interesting story today in the news about Domino's Pizza. Domino's Pizza, which has been bringing pizzas to doorsteps for more than a half century, will now deliver to the great outdoors. The pizza chain said Monday its drivers can meet customers at U.S. beaches, parks, and landmarks to hand over pizza, cheesy bread, and other food. Among the 150,000 outdoor locations under the Gateway Arch in St. Louis or by the Las Vegas welcome sign, the locations show up in the company app or website as Domino's Hotspots. Delivery is a key part of the company's business, and it's pushed to make it easy to order through tweets or text. Competition has grown from other fast food chains trying to catch up. Domino's Pizza says it tested the service in Miami, where customers ordered outside hotels and the zoo. So what do you make of that? Domino's Pizza now will be delivering to beaches and parks and all points in between. You remember the good old days when you actually had to get out the old rotary dial telephone or the push button and dial up Domino's, and you actually had to talk to somebody, and somebody had to ask you what you wanted for your on your pizza and what the address was, and then the delivery man had to go looking for the address, and there was no GPS, and they brought your pizza there, and you actually had to talk to the person, and boy, that's just become a thing of the past. Now they want driverless cars. They can deliver to any place you want to be. You don't even have to have a house anymore. This is probably good for homeless people. You don't even need a house anymore. You don't need an address. Well, I'm standing in the middle of Main Street. Could you deliver a pizza here? Holy Moses. And, you know, I'm always a little paranoid. I know many of you are more proficient in cell phones than I am. But you probably use these texts and apps to order your pizzas. See, I'm always nervous that I'm going to hit the wrong button and get the wrong pizza. And I'm cordial enough where I don't want to send the pizza back. So, I don't know. What do you think? Now you can go camping and have Domino's drive up with pizzas. That's the new world. Do you think this is a good or bad idea? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you think it's a good idea for Domino's to deliver anywhere in the world? Hotspots. You can be standing under the golden arch. I wonder if they'll deliver to other restaurants. I'm at McDonald's. Could you bring me a Domino's pizza over? I tell you, you just never know. Everything is changing. But I'm not sure what this is going to do to socialization. That's the problem. If you don't have to deal with people, then how are you ever going to learn to deal with people when you have to go on job interviews, when you do have to talk to people? You're going to have no social skills. I think, actually, our writing is getting better because of text messages and computers and things of that nature. But I don't know where our social skills are going. I think our social skills are going right down the tubes. And I don't know if there's any way to fix that. It's becoming weird. I understand these businesses have to stay current because you want to sell your pizzas. You want to sell whatever you're selling. That's the idea. But how far are we going to go? Do you remember in the movie Back to the Future with Michael J. Fox? I think it was the second version, part two, the second version of that movie, where he went into the future. I remember there was a Domino's Pizza reference in that movie that in the future that you would get a dehydrated pizza. And instead of having an oven in your house, you would have a hydrator. So you would take that dehydrated pizza and you would put it, Domino's Pizza, as it was in the movie, and you would put it in the hydrator, and it would take you like 30 seconds, and your pizza would hydrate, and your little dehydrated pizza would become a great, steaming, fresh, hot Domino's pizza. Well, we didn't go that route, but now we'll deliver anywhere. We'll deliver from cell phones. You know, that's the interesting thing is, if you look at any movie that deals with the future, the thing that we totally missed when writing these movies and coming up with plots was the cell phone and the many uses of the cell phone. Now, they had cell phones. You know, you could pick up a phone in your car and call anybody. Car phones were supposed to be a big thing. That never really took because you can take a cell phone in your car. But they always miss the texting. They always miss the smartphone. You know, they had flying cars and dehydrated pizzas and suits that we would all have to wear and all these strange things that never did happen. But who knows about the future? But the thing they missed were smartphones, that we would have a device that we could do everything from in the palm of our hand. You can now be in your car, order a pizza without ever talking to anybody, and have it delivered to your house by the time you get home. Think of that. You didn't see that in any of those futuristic movies. That's an interesting question. Is there any movie, and of course I have not seen them all, but was there any movie that dealt with the future that you think is an accurate depiction of what we came to be? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Emails, too. I never really saw emails depicted in movies, that would be the way we would go, or pictures. Now, flat screen televisions, yeah, you kind of saw that depicted, movie walls, things of that nature. That happened. But the flying car, that still has never happened. I don't know if that ever will happen. That might be one that we might not see. And I think that has a lot to do with air traffic controls and wrecks that would happen. We want driverless cars, but I think we want to control that in some way on the highway system. We want to control speed, and I think having a car that flies might be kind of difficult. Some people can't keep it on the road, let alone keep it in the sky. I think that would be a very difficult thing to do. Should be joined by the amazing Kreskin in about a minute here, but it's an interesting conversation to have, and it's an interesting world that continues to change. The only, as they say, the only thing constant in the world is change, and that certainly is the case. 29 and a half minutes past the hour on this Monday. By the way, Linda Sims, Voice of the People, will have Mayor Scott Schertzer on today at 4:10 to 5 p.m. Linda Sims will have the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer, on. You're not going to want to miss that. 4:10 to 5 p.m. The mayor. And tomorrow on Voice of the People, 4:10 to 5, I believe she has Thomas Quaid from the Marion Health Department. So maybe she'll ask him about some of those restaurant things, listings that we've been seeing in the newspaper. I saw him print some more of those. Years ago, they wouldn't have done that because so many restaurants advertised in the newspaper. And I think the lack of advertising in the newspaper has allowed these restaurant inspections to be published, which is kind of an interesting thing. Did you see the story in the Star over the weekend on how much people who work in the county are paid? I thought that was a very interesting story. I'd never seen anything done quite like that. There's some very tenacious, smart reporters at the Star right now. And you have to admire that. You might not always like the story, and I'm sure a lot of the county employees having their salaries put in the paper was probably not their favorite thing. But again, as we've said so many times on this show, news people are not supposed to be beloved by everybody. There used to be a saying, you're supposed to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. That used to be the definition of a news person. Comfort the afflicted, afflict the comforted. I think that's still right. Do you remember in the days when people used to have private sources and people would go to jail for that? They wouldn't reveal who the source was? I don't know if we have a morality like that anymore. I don't know if we have that type of, I don't know, what would you call it? We don't have that intestinal fortitude. We don't want to go to jail. We don't want, we'll tell you the source. Not in those days. In those days, they would go to jail over it. Gutsy reporters. And I think there are some gutsy reporters at the Marion Star right now, and I applaud them for the work they do. And again, it comes back to that definition, applaud or comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. We're going to be back with the amazing Kreskin right after this.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think those fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. 740-39944, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh107.com. And we are back on April the 16th on this Monday, 34 minutes past the hour, and now we're joined by one of my favorite guests. He has not been on the program since the end of 2017 when he came on and did his annual yearly prediction show. He is one of my favorite guests, as I say. He was also one of Johnny Carson's favorite guests, Sally Jesse Raphael, and a whole host of others. Now, the reason he is on with us today is because of something he predicted. Now, get ready for this. I'm going to read it just as I have it before we bring him in. Our guest is world-famous mentalist, the amazing Kreskin. In 2012, with interviews that included Forbes and the New York Magazine, Kreskin issued a dark prediction for the future of the social network and its billionaire founder, Mark Zuckerberg. The bottom line of his prediction was that in 6 years, Facebook will not exist the way it does today. He further elaborated, "I do not see Facebook's future being in the same condition, state, or with the same image or persona that it possesses today. I predict a dynamic new turn which may not have the same face or recognition as we know it now." Bear in mind, Kreskin stated this prediction in 2012 and specified that it would see its fruition in 6 years. 6 years is 2018, and I think we all saw Mark Zuckerberg testifying before Congress last week. Well, here he is, the one and only, one of my favorites, the amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, how are you?
Oh, I am well, Scott. It's so good to talk to you. And you know, I've got to acknowledge that I've gotten some quite a bit of interest in the incident that took place. And you know, people have been asking me, you know, what made me say that at that time? And you know, Scott, I don't play games. I don't muddle things and avoid a cloud and answer. The scenario is that I think, Scott, that that particular year, I was beginning to become concerned about one of the great problems that we in modern society are beset with. And don't misunderstand me, communication is my life, but it is the mass, instantaneous, widespread, almost uncontrolled communication at all levels, good, bad, true, and untrue. And it is really jamming, as you know, I'm sure you've discussed this, it is jamming our culture right now. Do you know what I mean, Scott?
Well, it certainly is. A matter of fact, we have had a conversation here on this station between news, gossip, and tabloid. And I think everything is pretty much a tabloid now, which is...
What's happening.
Yeah, it's. I know it's false, and I'm still going to put it out there.
Yeah, and it's... And the other thing, one of the other dilemmas that took place, and this I talked about years ago, is when we have, now don't misunderstand me, I am for 24-hour specialized stations, news stations, and what have you, but sometimes the news gets kind of dull and spent, and then there are those who are tempted to embellish the news just to fill time. Do you understand what I'm saying, Scott?
I do.
And it really, and I know I have people I'm close to in the news field, and they are very, very deeply concerned about this. But what the real thing that has worried me intensely, it is far beyond just Facebook, but Facebook is a dramatic scenario of it, and the Senate, in interviewing Zuckerberg, certainly was concerned about this. In fact, some of the people said, when they read further my details on the commentary in 2012, they said, "You sure you didn't give these people some of the questions they answered?" But that's not the point. The point of the matter, as I've told you before, Scott, is, and we've got to alert young people to this. And I'm saying young people and people in high school, people in college, they've got to realize that there are no secrets left, and there's no real way of erasing the past anymore. And now with specialized groups, and I've been saying this for a long, long time, in China, there are in certain cities buildings where all the people working in the building, hear me when I say that their job is tapping into the internet of other parts of the world. And that material that they're gathering together is being reserved and filed away and is going to be used. Do you hear what I'm saying, Scott?
I do. It's a scary thing because...
It really is.
Yeah, what are they going to do? It's awful.
There's no simple solution to this. I've said this at universities, and college students write me. I've done over 1,000 university shows, as I mentioned to you, in this country, in Canada. But students write me and say, you know, Kreskin, and then they'll give me an example how it hit them. When the young people marched on Wall Street a few years ago, and some didn't use good judgment, defecating on police cars and everything else, the bottom line is, and I happen to know this, personally, you take a couple of businesses in Germany, and when young people come for a job in Germany, not looking for a job at NBC or Fox in the news department here, but just a job, and they're asked, well, where did you go to college? Yes, I went to college. When did you go? They give the years they went. Where? They mention New York. Someone walks into a number room from two companies I can mention to you, that the student out there who's applying for the job, since they went to college in the New York area the same time as this march on Wall Street, someone goes to another room and watches on a wall as hundreds and hundreds of all the people who marched on Wall Street are shown pictures of them in front of them, and a few of these people have not been able to get jobs since then. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is not macabre talk. I'm telling people the facts of life today.
This is kind of what we used to call Big Brother, right?
Yes. You said yes, Big Brother. Yes. So, you know, and by the way, it's interesting. I'm glad we got a chance to discuss this. But I got to share with you, Scott, the fact that during this entire time now, this month of April, up until the 28th of April, I'm appearing in a theater off Broadway called The Lion, and it started a week ago. And see, we've been getting sold out houses, and with my own performance, a 2-hour performance, one man show. And people are saying to me, you know, Kreskin, all the years you've been performing, you waited this long to come to approach Broadway, but it's, Scott, I got to tell you, it's absolutely exciting. And part of my program, Scott, part of the 2-hour program is, yes, I have in each show, as we've talked about through the years, my check hidden by the audience, a committee of a half a dozen people from the audience, and I don't go into another part of the building. In this case, I leave and walk out on the street with a group of guards, committee guarding me while they hard my check anywhere within the theater. When I return, as you know, there's no questions asked. No one talks to me about it. They're just to concentrate on what I've done, and if I don't find my fee, I forfeit that fee, and it goes to the booking people and what have you, to the people who booked me, what have you, and the show turns out to be for me that night for free. That's a hell of a living, is it not, Scott?
That's not bad. That's not bad at all. But, you know, without getting into the particulars here, when did you realize you had this ability?
I tell you, it's an interesting scenario because it relates to something I just mentioned to you. And I'm going to tell you also, Scott, that you're reading the thinking of and understanding the thinking of the listeners in Silver Bit, because if people are saying to me, reporters, I was just interviewed in New York by the editor and owner of a newspaper. She came to the show and came to my dress room and said, I want to interview in person, but people want to know how this came about in your life. And the crazy thing is that when I was in third grade, it was raining outside, and Miss Curtis said to the classmates, you know, you're not going to go out and play today because it's raining outside. I'm going to teach you a game. And she sent one of our classmates out of the room. It was Jane Hamilton. Now, I know this happened when I was a little kid, but 9 years old. But Jane Hamilton, she said, you wait outside, Jane. And we hit a beanbag. We hit a beanbag in one of the desks. Each of us sat at a little desk we had and so forth. Then she called Jane back in, and she said, Jane, you're going to walk around the class. Your classmates will say, if you're getting near where we put the beanbag, you're getting warm. If you're not near, you're cold. If you're real close, you're hot. And she finally found out. We talked her into it, what have you. And I was, Scott, burned filled with this game. I wish I'd been asked to play it. I'm walking home, which was a mile home, because I'm glad I was able to walk back and forth through all my grades up to a senior in high school. But anyway, when I got home, I said to my brother, let's go over Grandma and Grandpa's house. They were from Sicily. My grandfather built the house with his own hands. They lived on the second floor, and they rented the downstairs. I said, go upstairs, Joey, and hide a penny. He ran upstairs, calls me. I go upstairs, walk into the kitchen. My grandmother's sitting there not knowing what's going on. She didn't speak much English. I loved her dearly. I walked through the kitchen into my uncle's bedroom. He was at work. Found myself climbing on a chair and reaching behind a curtain rod and felt the penny, and then it dawned on me. I forgot to tell Joey to talk to me and tell me hot and cold. He was still in the kitchen. There was no conversation at all. Grandma was sitting there watching, wondering what was going on. Here, I found the penny. Now, being Italian, I wonder if my grandmother thought I had the eel alive, but we will not pursue that, Scott. But it got around the family, and at private events, I enacted this scenario, and then in fourth and sixth grade, my teacher, Miss Galloway, she was a teacher in both grades, set aside show and tell, where on Fridays, you went before, if you had a story to tell or something, you went before the class and told. And for 10 minutes each class, I attempted to read the thoughts of my audience. I remember in my senior year, I said to my classmates one Friday show and tell, all of you think of a movie you've seen. And I'm standing there, and I said, Jane, Gloria Palmer, she was in the back of the room, sitting next to Judy Dunn. I swear, I said, Gloria, you're not thinking of a movie you just saw, but you're thinking of a movie. She says, yeah. I mean, remember, we're in sixth grade. I said, yeah, it's not a movie. You saw it around Christmas time. I named a movie. It turned out she saw it the day after Christmas. My teacher, by the time I was in seventh grade, I was already doing performances. And when I went into ninth grade, I did a two-hour fundraising concert for the entire school because I was already doing two-hour shows. But listen to this, Scott. Listen to how someone can influence someone's career. I found out long after I finished high school that Miss Galloway, my fourth and sixth grade teacher, quietly sent personally written letters to my teachers all through the years up through high school saying, we don't understand what he does, but you must support him because it's a gift. Isn't that something for a teacher to do?
What a great teacher. You know, Kriskin, it's amazing to hear this. And just to get back to Facebook for a minute, you say Facebook will change. What will happen?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I want to tell you folks, you've asked me now some very serious remarks. The one thing that worries me, and this sounds crazy because we do have enemies around the world. There's militaristic, there are violent people and so forth. You have weapons, some of which are out of control and not guarded, but that's not the point. What worries me more than anything, listen to me, is boredom. Because, folks, for God's sakes, we are not studying history. If you look at ancient Rome, in the last years of ancient Rome, where the politicians were giving, going to the Coliseum for free. You could see shows for free. They were still not getting the favoritism of their votes. They were not getting that much, so they started to make the entertainment more violent, a la innocent people being thrown to the lions and everything else. Well, I am worried in our culture today, as there are people who have cell phones and are watching TV 20, 15 hours a day when they're not in school, and some have cell phones on, boredom will begin to ensue, and you will begin to see our entertainment that we see on the screen. And I'm not against horror movies. I'm not against war movies. But you're going to see rampant, increased violence in the scene. And producers in Hollywood say, Kreskin, you're hitting something, a nail on the head, because, Scott, you folks listening in, when you go to a movie theater today and get there in time for the previews, watch the previews. At the end of 20 minutes of previews, you can't even remember what the movies are because they're all noisy, shooting, and graphic violence. That will be satisfying to people who are getting bored, and that worries me intensely, Scott.
Well, one of the big, because obviously you have made your career with presidential predictions of other things. It was on this show a few years ago when you said Hillary Clinton would run for president after I pressed you little bit.
I remember
it very well. So don't let me down today. We've got 10 minutes left to go here. What's going to happen here? We all want to know. There's a lot of stuff going on in Washington. Yeah. Boy, we've got lawyers going to court today. We've got recordings. Is this going to be another Watergate? Is President Trump going to make it through the year?
I think he will. And by the way, this has nothing to do with favor or non-favor because, as you know, before the last election, I didn't want to get involved in it because if you go on the internet, you see pictures of me with Trump because I performed in his home way before he was running for office. And with Hillary Clinton because I performed a lot in Washington, D.C. And by the way, I don't think I told you this. Maybe I did the last time, but in the past, a year ago, the airline industry is now estimates. They now estimate that I've flown in my career so far over 3.5 million miles. I was on a United flight recently where the pilots called me to the cockpit before they took off. I used to sit with them in the cockpit during the flight, but it's not allowed anymore. But they called me and they said, Kreskin, it's unbelievable. The two of us have flown our entire career, and you've flown more miles than the two of us combined. So I'm on the road all the time, and that's. But I think the situation right now is, it isn't just Scott, our politics. It's the entertainment field. It's people who also are frustrated going to attorneys and filing lawsuits. And don't misunderstand me, I am against sexual abuse. I'm against all these things. But I will tell you, and I warned people about this years ago, you're going to have a point where people are going to be suing, and it's now known, and I happen to be very closely privileged to an international company where I know all the details that are in Europe and the United States, and a very fine company, and I have to keep my word of confidence. But that company now, in all private meetings in the company between two people, will have all throughout the world a lawyer sitting in the room. Because of this factor, Scott, and listen to me, folks, it's now a point where even those who have ulterior motives realize if you can get three people who are disgusted or ill or furious because they were let go or fired, if you can get three of them to attack one person, destroy a person's career. Do you hear me, Scott?
I do. So you believe President Trump will fulfill his term in office?
Well, I believe, yes, he would. I understand because the press has asked me about this, and don't ask me why, because and this is not knowing him personally and nothing to do with that. It's my tuning in to the public, how they think and what have you. And I think, now misunderstand me, I'm not a great fan of remarks made off the cuff and on the internet and so forth, because I think this kind of blurs things and causes animosity and what have you. But our government, it isn't just a particular office. Our government is in turmoil right now. I mean, I've worked with the FBI. The FBI never built up a reputation like this in past years, if you understand what I'm saying. This is almost chaotic what is going on in our government. By the way, and I've been quoted everywhere, people get a kick out of this in my shows. I have nothing against politicians, Scott. I have nothing against politicians. I just wish that most of them had been on the Titanic.
Well, speaking of these politicians, one thing we all are curious about, and something will happen this coming November, do you think we're going to see the Republicans lose power? A lot of people, Paul Ryan?
Yeah. I think this will happen, yes, but understand this. We have to look at both sides, because my audience consisted of both sides of the picture and what have you. There are also people who, because they may be are pointed out to be conservative, or because they support this particular position, are now criticized for holding this political position. And you know, you have to understand that there are people who voted for a certain office or a certain position or a certain political position and are now deeply hurt because groups are criticizing anyone who says this as being un-American and what have you. This in spite of the fact that one thing has to be understood, and you young people, if you were seeing me at a university setting, you'd hear, you would know that the professors are asking me to talk about this. The amount of protests, the amount of suddenly uprisings to take place that were planned well ahead of time. How do I know this? Because when I was in my late teens, already performing in my early 20s, I became close to local radio and TV stations in the New York area. Not the networks until I got on Carson and Steve Allen, The Tonight Show, and so forth, but local stations that had they were maybe attached to CBS or what have you, and they used to confide in me. Oh yeah, Kreskin, that demonstration that happened so spontaneously last week, you know, they called us a few days before and said to Channel 5, what's your schedule for such and such a day? And they said, we're covering this, we've got this already happening. Consequently, those spontaneous breakouts were postponed one day, and I could tell you dozens of incidents, and you understand what I'm saying, Scott, as spontaneous as they were, they weren't.
Mm. So,
and by the way, folks, by the way, if you think that the reality shows are reality shows, Scott, you and I can make some money selling the Brooklyn Bridge to people all over the place. I get calls from people who work on the shows and say, and I'm not going to mention names, oh, Cressy, you get a kick out of this. You should watch the show. I said, I don't watch the show. They said, well, the incident a few weeks ago, where the gals were arguing in a clothing store. I said, yeah. They said, Kreskin, they went through it 9 times to make it look like it happened spontaneously. So a lot of broadcasting has lost its credibility, which is why I admire the fact you're doing this live.
Ah, well, I appreciate that, Kreskin. And with 4 minutes left, because this prediction of Facebook was made 6 years ago, take me into the future. What is going to happen years from now that we're going to be looking back at this conversation and saying, on April 16th, 2018, Kreskin told Scott Spears this, and now it has come to fruition?
Well, I think what's going to happen is that there's going to be gatherings, groups of professional people, and some young professional people gathering together. And I don't mean all attorneys, because attorneys are so rampant in our society today that my prediction is a very strong one, that within 8 years, 80% of attorneys will be fired. And the only reason is, and companies tell me, Kreskin, your prediction makes so much sense, it's going to happen, because it's overcrowded with attorneys. There's too many now. People are going to go to electronic means to solve a lot of legal situations, and that is one of the major changes going to take place. I'm not saying it should or should not happen, but there's less and less work for attorneys, and the only way they can make it is for nuisance lawsuits. A change has to take place in this country, which is in England and is in Canada. There are very few nuisance lawsuits. In the United States, a year or so, we try to pass a bill that if you sue someone and you fail in your lawsuit, you pay their expenses. In England and Canada, that's the rule, and there are very few nuisance expenses. offenses. Every time this law is introduced in this country, the Trial Lawyers Association and other groups try to stop it. That's not saving the average human being from losing money right and left. I believe, Scott, you're going to see a group of young people out of college with strong degrees who are starting to prove themselves that are going to begin to form organizations dealing with the business world that's going to concern itself with the people, not the top of the business. I don't know who they are, but you'll hear what I'm saying. It's going to be young people who are going to do it that will have the intelligence, the brilliance, and still the feeling that they've got to make things work for the general public. Because I will tell you, I've worked on 84 crime cases, and part of the philosophy of my life is this: I owe it to give back something of my success.
I am going to take the last 60 seconds to just throw one out of left field to you, because it's been going back and forth for a while now. In 2020, will Joe Biden run for president?
Ask me that in a month and a half from now, and I'll tell you why. It doesn't have to do with a month and a half from now. We got to talk within a month. I will, in a month and a half or 2 months, have something extremely exciting to announce about what's going on around me. And now, does that sound like a cliffhanger, my saying that to you, Scott? Does it sound like
a... Well, these are like it sounds like the old soap opera days. It's good.
We got to talk then, Scott. I know you got to get going on, and I got to hold off on that other question, but I want to share something. I wish I could tell you now, but when I do tell you, you would never have dreamt that I would be telling you this, but let's just put it this way. As I say all the time we talk, I'm not going to say goodbye in the spirit of broadcasting, Scott, to be continued. Okay, my friend?
A month and a half, the amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, take
thanks,
care.
Scott.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you.
Boy, oh boy, he's never at a loss for words, but for this day, I am. I'm lost for words. This is Scott Spears, heading for the dugout.
The people that you meet each day.
Legendary newsman Hugh Downs. Did you ever think you would be referring to the NBC News anchor as this stupid?
No, I never did think I would. I didn't think that could happen, because first of all, I think the way itself has handled it.